beloved of God. You know how much the Lord loves you. You know, think about this. Your very hairs are numbered. He thinks about you more than that there are stars in heaven and sands on the seashores. I think it's awesome. You know, what a God we serve to love us like that, you know. So thank you today for joining me. Oh, I'm so glad you're my friend. I'm so glad you're my partner. I pray the Lord will just reward you over and over and over again. You know, I've been teaching this week on freedom from bondage. And today I want to teach on the power of intercession. Because sometimes I don't think we all, including me, realize the amazing, intense, glorious power that is released when we intercede, you know. So, Lord, we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And, Lord, I pray you'll give us truth today that will change our life. Give us a deep understanding that will change our destiny. In Jesus' wonderful name, bless each one, Lord, listening right now. Bless that one watching me right now, Lord. Meet every need in their life today in Jesus' sweetest name. And God's dear people said, amen and amen. You know, usually I read names and I say hello, which I'm going to get back to and doing it, you know, anyways. But I have so much information to talk about. I really want to get straight into the word. So, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer. I mentioned that yesterday, but I just want to go from there. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice how many times it says all in this verse, you know. All prayer, and then all supplication, and then all perseverance and all saints. Now, there are seven revelations of prayer. One of them is intercession. So when the Bible talks about all prayer, it talks about confession. It talks about supplication. It talks about adoration or worship. It talks about intercession. It talks about communion or fellowship with the Lord, intimacy with God. It talks about thanksgiving, and it talks about praise. So there are seven. I'll repeat them. Maybe somebody just said, I wish you'd repeat them. You know, these are seven glorious headlines of prayer, revelations of prayer. Number one is confession. Every time someone prayed, they confessed who God is. And they confessed his word. Like Moses said, Lord, you said, you know. And the apostles did the same in the book of Acts. And other wonderful prophets and saints of the old covenant that prayed that way. And we see it in the new also. And then you have supplication. Let our requests be made known. And then number three, you have adoration, worship. Worship prepares for intercession. Then that's number four, intercession, which I want to talk about today. Number five, communion. Intimacy with God Almighty. And number six, thanksgiving. And number seven, praise. That is what the Bible means by all prayer. So the power of prayer is so powerful that movements in heaven, when we intercede, movements in heaven are now released because of our prayer. So movements in heaven are restricted by movements on the earth. And I said it before, but I think it's good to say it again. So movements in heaven are restricted by movements on earth. A great scripture on this is Ezekiel 36:37. Now, when you look at the book of Ezekiel, and there's many other portions about that, but you look at Ezekiel 36, verse 37, it says, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. So God wants them to pray a certain prayer. And then he says, if they pray, here's what I'll do. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. So here's God's will, that God wants to increase Israel like a flock, but he won't do it till they pray. So I will be inquired of by the house of Israel. And once they do it, then I'll do it. And here's what my will is. I want to increase them like a flock. So God makes a decision in glory waits for you and I to intercede. When we intercede, he fulfills it. If we don't, it's not fulfilled. I said something yesterday in the car. I said, you know, I think many are going to get to heaven and see how many plans God had for them that were never fulfilled because then they never prayed for them. Then they never interceded for them. So the Bible says something powerful that sometimes I think we miss the full meaning of it in Matthew 18. And we've read it and we've heard it preached and on. But I think we really need to look at this amazing truth here. Verily, every time the Lord said verily, he was saying pay attention. The truth I say to you. Whatsoever you will bind on earth, this is the part of intercession. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Movements in heaven are restricted or released by movements on earth. So whatever you bind on earth or release on earth, God will do the same in glory. So whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound, and whatsoever you loose or release will be loosed in heaven. This is powerful. And sometimes intercession needs a companion, someone to help you intercede. You know, the Welsh revival began with two men who got into agreement. And again, and this is verse 19, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree. You know, the Lord knows that sometimes we cannot intercede on our own. So he says, if two of you will agree. You know, Isaiah had to agree with King Hezekiah when the Assyrians came against Jerusalem. And Hezekiah said to his aides, he said, go to Isaiah and ask him to pray, ask him to agree with us. So we see this often in the Bible. We see Moses, you know, where he also needed, with Aaron and Ur, he needed people to agree with him because there was a battle raging. And sometimes when the battles rage, we need someone to intercede with us for our families or situations. So if two of you will agree, and we don't need to take any more than two, by the way, okay? On earth as touching anything, it'll be done. So you bind and you loose, but sometimes you need help. And that's why the Lord said that together, verse 18 and verse 19. So, but intercession uses the word. You know, I've been talking about Ephesians chapter 6, but I've got to show you the connection here. You've got to see the connection. So if you look at Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. Now, you know, when the Bible was written, there was no verses. It was just all one sheet, you know. So he said, take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying. He connected the word and prayer together. Did you see that? Do you see that? Do you see that, Chad?
Yes, sir.
So when he said the word of God, he went on in the same breath and said, praying, praying. So prayer needs the word. So we cannot separate verse 17 from verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 6. And like I said, when the Bible was written, it was written on parchment, before that on skin. And clearly, it was no verses. A Frenchman was the one who divided the Bible many, many years after the Bible was written. So, now, we need the word. And so, he says, what he's really saying is, take the word of God as you pray. He says, so, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as you pray. Now, here's what he was saying to us. This is very important. The word of God is used in prayer. Okay? Now, if people use the word of God against the devil without prayer, they will lose the battle. Prayer is the instrument of the word. Did you hear what I said? Okay? Prayer is the instrument that uses the word, not our mouth. It's prayer through our mouth. Did you get that, Chad? Huh?
Yes, sir.
So it's when we pray, it's like prayer is the hand that holds the word. It's prayer that holds the hand. It's prayer like the hand that holds the sword, you know, which is prayer. And we cut the devil's neck with it. But prayer literally causes our hand. It's like, think about your hand being prayer and the word being the sword, you know. And now you use it. Well, you need the hand of prayer. And then amazing that always the hands are symbolic of prayer, you know. Because the hand of God is released as we pray. When we pray, his hand, you know, goes into action, basically. So, this is very, very important and very revealing that the word of God has to be connected to prayer or it's not going to work. And prayer must be connected to the word of God or it's going to work. The minute we do that, and this is, look, this is what Moses did. Let me show you an example of it. Do you remember when the Lord in Exodus was very angry and he wanted to just destroy Israel? And Moses prayed. So God is saying, now get down in verse 7, Exodus 32. Get down, your people. God had always said, my people. Now he changed his mind. He said, your people have corrupted themselves. And then he said, leave me alone. I'm going to destroy them. This is all in that amazing chapter, Exodus 32. So verse 10, leave me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them. Moses besought the Lord, verse 11, said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against your people, which you brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power? And then he says in verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? So now verse 13, he uses the word. He said, remember what you said to Abraham? Remember what you said to Isaac? Remember what you said to Jacob? Do you remember, Lord, what you said to your servants, to whom you swear by your own self? And you said, I will multiply your seed. He is using the word. He said, you said, I will multiply your seed. You can't destroy them now because you said you will multiply them. Isn't that powerful? And then you said, Lord, all this land I'm going to give you and to your seed. Well, Lord, surely you said it already. You can't change your mind now. Basically is what he was saying to him. And verse 14 is one of the most amazing verses, I think, in the whole Bible. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do. But what caused him to change his mind? His word. Not Moses. It was his word. Moses knew exactly what to do. Because Moses couldn't just do it on his own. He knew the word would do it. I pray you're hearing this. So you won't do it. The word will do it. But you have to speak the word. Say, Father, you said. Yes. And because you said, then it has to happen. Now that's amazing that God would give us human beings, his children, the power to actually say that to him. The authority to say that to him. Lord, you said. That's why I say prayer begins with confession, you know. And do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when we do that? This is one of the most remarkable portions of the word. In Psalm 35, it says we release angelic power when we use the word. It says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. David is praying for those who are fighting him. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion. He is interceding, reminding God of his promises to him that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Now this is something. You know, and if you put the whole psalm together, and where he says, "Plead my cause, O Lord." Now, this is a very interesting way to start a prayer. Like, fight for me, Lord. Plead my cause, Lord. You're for me, Lord. You're not against me. I'm yours, Lord. Now, please fight those who are fighting me. But it's relationship that is the connection here, you know. And because he said, plead my cause, O Lord, he showed there's a relationship. And no relationship can be a true relationship without promises being made. So God had made promises to David to protect him. Otherwise, he wouldn't pray, plead my cause, Lord, fight for me. Because he knew he would, God would. And then he says, let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angels chase them. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. So, angels are released when we intercede. And don't you remember what happened in Ezekiel? Well, when the angel was told to go and place a mark on people who were interceding? Because angels are released through intercession. And I'll show you that scripture in just a moment. So, intercession touches heaven and attacks hell. Ooh, my. You need to write them down. You need to write those words down. Intercession touches heaven and attacks hell. And intercession speaks to obstacles and destroys obstacles. Listen here. Intercession speaks to the obstacles in your life and destroys them. That's what intercession does. And intercession is sacrificial. It's prayer warfare. It's shameless persistence. I want to repeat that. Intercession is sacrificial. When we intercede, we are sacrificing ourselves for someone else in prayer. It's prayer warfare. It's shameless persistence. Like, we persist and there's no shame in. We're bold. And intercession drives the enemy out of our land and out of our homes. And that is found in Jeremiah. I'm going to show you again about angelic deliverance from Ezekiel. But let's just go to Jeremiah quickly. Jeremiah chapter 31. This is one of my favorites, by the way. Verse 16, he says, thus says the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, your eyes from tears. Because they've been interceding, God says, I heard you. Your work will be rewarded. And your family, and they, meaning family, shall come again from the land of the enemy. So when people intercede for their children or loved ones, we know that the enemy will release them from his land. They will be delivered from the land of the enemy. Now, I told you earlier about Ezekiel. So, let's go together to the book of Ezekiel. And chapter 9. And here we see angelic, help coming to those who intercede. So it says in verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. So the angels were released right here to go and place a mark on intercessors. And later we see something powerful. So here again, angelic power is released through intercession, just like in the Psalms. But there's something wonderful. Oh, this is so priceless. And that is Ezekiel again, the book of Ezekiel. One of the most amazing books in the Bible. Wow, Isaiah and Ezekiel. Very, very powerful books. So, Ezekiel 22, and you may know the verse, but I want you to put the whole thing together in connection, connecting it all together. 30 and 31, Ezekiel 22, 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Imagine God Almighty says, if one man would intercede, just one man would come before me and like Moses, use the word in intercession, I would not destroy the land. If I would just find one man who would stand up and make up the hedge, in other words, keep the wall up, you know, that's what the hedge is. Keep the wall from, you know, crumbling. But I could not find one. He said, it's not my will to destroy anyone. I'm looking for intercessors to stand in the way, so I would not do it. He says, but nobody showed up. So therefore, I had to judge Israel. So intercession is the most perfect form of prayer. And think about this. This is what breaks the curse. You know, Proverbs says the curse causeless will not come. We can literally reverse the curse with intercession. Reverse a curse on someone who's bound to, you know, drugs or alcohol or filth or whatever in our homes, our loved ones, or even a friend. We can literally take that to the Lord in intercession and we can reverse the curse on their life. The curse causeless, we can break the cause of that curse, will not come then. That's what it says. So, what do we do? Well, we have to renounce the enemy. We have to cast him out and yield to the Lord, you know. So, in Romans 6:16, the Bible tells us very clearly that we become slaves to the person we yield to. So when you yield to the Lord, then he is in charge of your life. It says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So it's time we say to the devil, I'm done with you. Renounce it all. And submit to the Lord and submit to his way and submit to his righteousness and get on your knees and intercede. And then, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10. Mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. We can change people's minds through intercession. Yes, you can. Absolutely. Chad just went, You really can, because the Bible says, listen, and many haven't really read this whole portion, beginning at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, intercession can change people's minds to become obedient rather than disobedient to God. So we read this portion, we need to read from verse 3 right through verse 6 and not stop with verse 5. Most people stop with verse 5. No, it says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. How? In intercession. When people intercede, disobedience is stopped in people's lives and obedience begins. That's why it says obedience fulfilled. So think about, you can change the mind of your son. You can change the mind of your daughter. You can change the mind of someone you love. From drinking, from doing drugs, from running around with women or men or whatever, and doing worse than that. But I'm telling you, God has given you the power. I think it's time you take what is yours. Yeah. All right. So today, let's make a decision. Let's challenge the devil's authority. Okay, let's challenge the devil's authority over our children. Because Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, I give you power over all the power of the devil. Serpents and scorpions, nothing will hurt you. So Jesus gave us that power. And Peter, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says, resist the devil with faith. So I think it's time we should do it. You and I get on our knees and challenge his authority over our, over our kids, over our loved ones, over our families, over our future. Remember what it says in James 4, 7, resist the devil, he'll flee. All of this happens when we intercede. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this word penetrate their hearts today. Let this mighty word, Lord, be used in their life. Lord, bring it to their remembrance when they forget. And I pray and I agree with you right now. I agree with you in Jesus' name that the needs in your life will be met. The needs in your home will be met. The needs with your children will be met. The needs in your family, grandchildren, and loved ones will be met. All of them. And I agree with you that every plan of Satan will be destroyed and every plan of God established. In Jesus' name. Would you say, Father, come on, all of you say, Father, destroy the enemy's plans and establish your plans for my life. Say that, come on. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, destroy the enemy's plans for me and my family and establish your plans for me and my family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Simple, huh? Now, as you get on your knees and intercede, watch what God will do. It's going to be powerful. All right, it's time to give and sow your seed for the Lord's work and ministry. And remember, seed is so powerful when it's done as the anointing is flowing. So when the grounds are moist, for the seed, ready to receive the seed, and this is when the word is being preached, things are stirred up, in the atmosphere. So the best time to sow is when you hear the word. Don't wait till tomorrow, or some other day. Do it when the word has stirred your heart and the atmosphere around you. So now you sow your seed, expecting a harvest. Just expecting a harvest, no different than farmers accept a harvest. They go to sleep and say, it's coming for sure. Okay, now, God Almighty is going to give you not only the harvest, he's going to give you the seed back that you sowed. He gives seed to every sower, So do it and watch what God will do with you. You can give to Benny Hinn Ministries right now. Just do it right there online on the platform you're watching me on. You can go to BennyHinn.org or you can simply text your seed. So simple. Anywhere in the world, you can take your phone, your cell phone, and you can text BHM, and then you go to the number 45777. It's there for you on the screen. So simple. And then God will bless you. Ooh, he'll bless you and bless your loved ones and bless your future with financial blessings and security. Tomorrow, healing service.